will you be able to elaborate a little on that? And it is pages 212, 213, days, and in English it is two. Well, Urumash et Zorich Shekeda, Shehimei Loyagiaha Novi Elamadrego and Yoda Batamach. One thing we've got to learn, that prophet doesn't reach a great height in one jump. And if anybody tells you that they have had a leap of faith, just say, wow. Because it needs a tremendous amount of work. So all he says here is a prophet doesn't reach a prophetic height in one jump. That he advances degree by degree until he comes to true prophecy. And that is the secret of everything. He says there is a skill in this, the same as in all arts and in all types of work. That a man progresses until he reaches clarity in that particular field. Now, in the book of Melachim, where it speaks about the early prophets, these are Eliyahu and Elisha, it speaks about the Bnei Hanaviim, the sons of the prophets, and those are really the disciples of the prophets, and they are in these schools where they are taught to be prophets. So besides having the knowledge and the character, there is also the question, there are certain skills that one has to have. The very Indian Bnei Hanavim Shehu Yo'omdim Lifnei Hanavi V'Dalkei Hanavuna Mashehu Mukhtaret Lozeh. As these, the Bnei Hanavim, these disciples, would stand before the prophets, and they would learn what it was necessary to learn from the prophets as far as this was concerned. So it's also a question of skills. It is not only knowledge and piety, but there is a skill in it also. In other words, the prophet is given the instrument, and one has to know how to use that instrument. Now, that's in everything in life is like that. If you've got a doctor who's studying medicine, then he studies anatomy, and he studies physiology, and he's given a body, and he dissects the body, and he works on the body. And now he's got all that knowledge. Yet there is a skill, and that is the diagnosis. Got to be able to do that. A lawyer, he studies and he knows all his laws, but there are skills, and the skill that the lawyer needs his skills is the presentation of it. A teacher, he can have all the knowledge, he can know how to teach, but he's got to have the skill. A person can know everything about tennis, but he's never been on a tennis court. And now he goes, wants to play at Wimbledon, he'll be a mess. He knows everything, he knows how to hold the racket, he knows how to throw the ball. Hasn't got the skills. Same with the teacher, hasn't got the skills. Got all the knowledge, hasn't got the skills. And that is in everything in life. A person can study music, he can know everything about music, he can know all the history of music. He can know harmony, all the theory of music. He knows where the notes are. He can follow music, he can read music, put it in front of the piano. He's got to have the skills, and that takes a long, long time. Yes?
But wasn't there a Nabi that he said that Hashem spoke to him while he was still in his mother's stomach.
No, Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. That means I'd already appointed you to be a prophet. The father told the case, but not that he was a prophet yet. That takes a long time. So, what he's saying here is, of course one has to have the knowledge, and one has to have the piety, and one gets from Hashem, one gets Nebuah. But to how to use that Nebuah, that is a skill that must develop. Alright? We're having a little bit of this trouble with the yeshivas nowadays. People come out of the yeshivas very rarely, but they haven't got the skills. When it comes to teaching, they haven't got teaching skills. When it comes to preaching, they haven't got the preaching skills. So there's a question of the skills themselves. And that is the same as with the prophet, that on a very much higher level, it is a question of the skills. Now he says, yes, on to paragraph Gimel 3. We just give the chapter chance. Now, if we could go on to paragraph 3. Well, I have to be another few lines in conjunction with paragraph 3. The Derech Hashem says, the Yilai Epsha, she had yet given the Gemini Baruch Shabbat El Orem, the Hulay Yatir Baruch Kemoshe Yatir Anobis. He says, it's possible that a person can have a revelation from Hashem, and the man is not aware that he's got that revelation in the same way as a prophet is aware that he's got that revelation. And he explains it. Elo yach shaveyu ki im min hamurgoshes, that he thinks that this is something physical that he is experiencing, and not something that is ethereal or completely spiritual. Until he actually gets the prophetic divine influence, then he knows that it is prophecy, but until then he doesn't know. And then once he gets it, then he really knows it. And to this category belongs God's calling for Shmuel. Now he's going to give two examples, and two examples are enough really for us. You remember that Shmuel is a child, he's a boy, and he hears Hashem calling, he hears Shmuel, the name being called Shmuel. He thinks it's Eli calling him, so he quickly puts on his gown and slippers, and he runs into Eli. Says, what is it? Can I do anything for you? Eli says, no, I didn't call you. I thought I heard you call you. I didn't call you. Anyway, it happens a second time. Does exactly the same thing, runs to Eli. Eli says, I didn't call you. He says, fish, but I'm certain I heard it. So, Eli understands it. And Eli has got prophecy. So he says, next time you hear that, say, speak, Hashem, your servant is listening. Which he does, and then it is prophecy after that. But it started that he wasn't aware of. He thought it was something physical. It wasn't physical at all. There wasn't a voice that spoke to him in physical terms. There were not sound waves. Sound waves is already physical. Wasn't anything like that. But when he first experienced it, he thought it was physical. Now just let us go on to the next step. Shalom, his name is Shiloh. He didn't prophesy first. the Leshofa Lova Shefa, and that influence, divine influence, didn't come upon him. Eloshe Niglo Olof Kol Kekore Murgosh. But there was revealed to him a voice, and it was like a physical voice. The Lazisik Bose Yosef, he didn't understand anything more than this. Aber Achakach, Shofa Lova Shefa. And after that, then there was the divine influence. Then there was prophecy. So he could easily get a good idea of here. Then he realized that it was prophecy and he became a prophet. That's one example. The second example is in the Chayim Mare Hasnel and Moshe. And also the appearance of the bush for Moshe. But the Chilo Lo Niglo Lo Elo Chamur Goshes. When he first looked at it, it appeared to him as something physical. A fire burning, and a bush was in fire. This was something physical. The roar has made Boebuei, she saw a bush on fire. The Akkoris Baruch Hu crowed the Kodesh Shirovi, and even when God calls to him the first time, he calls to him in his father's voice. So he hears his father's voice, doesn't know what it's about. Ach Arika, Shofar Lova Shefa, Gahitika, the Buela Rito. Afterwards, when he stands there, gradually, he gets to know that it is Hashem. Yeah, we just going to take it over there, and now you can sit back a little bit, and I'll explain it to you. Man is a combination of the physical and the spiritual. The spiritual is incarcerated in the physical. The soul of man is incarcerated in the body of man. And since the soul is incarcerated in the body of man, the physical has a tremendous effect. Now, the soul is incarcerated in the physical of man, and in order to penetrate to the soul, one has to go through the body. One doesn't go through, can't get to the soul. One has to go through the body. Now let me explain it to you. Now I'll give you a couple of examples. We have a wedding ceremony 3 nights ago. The marriage ceremony consists of two distinct parts. First of all, there is the betrothal. What is the substance of the betrothal? Two blessings. One blessing over the wine and one blessing over the betrothal. The blessing is over the betrothal is we bless Hashem concerning, we bless Hashem who commanded us concerning relationships between man and woman. And forbade to us the betrothal, that whilst a man and woman are betrothed, the greatest intimacy is still not permitted, and afterwards, through the marriage, intimacy is permitted. But this is only the betrothal ceremony. But the first blessing is over the wine. Then the betrothal ceremony is finished, the kesubah is read just to mark the line of demarcation between the betrothal and the marriage ceremony, and then begins the marriage ceremony. Now the marriage ceremony is they are now properly married and they are submitted to one another. There are 7 brochas in the marriage ceremony. The first brocha is the brocha over the wine. Why is it necessary to make a brocha over the wine? The wine has got nothing to do with it. When we eat fruit, we don't first of all make a blessing over the wine. When we daven maariv, we don't make a blessing over the wine first. Why do we make a blessing over the wine first? We make kiddush. Kiddush consists of one blessing. Baruch atu Hashem l'tein b'erach l'ashit l'shomu l'mitzvotov v'rotz v'onu v'shabash kocher v'yavu v'rotz v'zilonu v'yeskuz v'tiheret in goodwill, in favor, in love, the day of the Sabbath, and what is represented, Baruch atu Hashem l'kadesh ha-shabos, and we finish that blessing, blessed are you Hashem, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Very nice. But why the blessing of the wine first? That's got nothing to do with it. Now, we work on a certain principle. And the principle is that when we are dealing with a completely spiritual concept, you can't reach it. That is, you're dealing with a matter of the soul. You can't reach it until you penetrate the physical. So first of all, we make a blessing over the wine. Everybody can appreciate the wine. You know how it tastes. So you first of all appreciate the physical. Understand the physical. Experience the physical. Feel the physical. And from there you've pierced it. Now you can go into the spiritual and speak of it. Husband and man, a woman getting together, and it's holy. It's holy. You are one of the Kennedys. Where are they seeing anything holy in that? What's this business holy? What's holy about it? Can't see anything in it. Ask anybody, stop anybody, or if they can have to be but stop anybody on First Avenue downtown and say, what is marriage? They say, oh, it's an old fangled idea. It used to be in the olden days. We don't have it anymore. It's a strange concept. It's a spiritual concept. That they're bound together in marriage, it's fiduci. It's holy. Take the Sabbath. All right. Once upon a time they say, Sabbath is a waste of time. Not to work the whole 24 hours. Now, if anybody can get off out of work, you know what you so, but look what you can do on the Sabbath. Not to do these things on the Sabbath. What is this all about? Why is all this necessary? It's a spiritual concept. One can only appreciate it first by going through the physical. Only way you can reach it. And so, when Hashem, when a prophet is introduced to prophecy, it's first of all purely physical. Shmuel hears the blessing. It's really, it's not, he is physical. Moshe sees a burning bush, to him it is physical, and after this, it dawns upon him. Then that is the way to do it. So there is an hachona, there is a preparation for it. And the preparation is, first of all, to pierce the physical. But that is quite simple. Now, that is one thing I wanted to tell you. I just want to give another little piece with you. Well, rather longer than that, but then just take it out of its context. It could be all right. So that is how the prophecy begins. Always sensational. Now, the next thing is, the work that is required of it. There's a tremendous amount of work. But that is in everything in life. There is a verse in the book of Job, Odom the Omor Yulo. Man is born to work. And Omor is hard work. It's not a labor. It's Omor. It's really toil. Man is born for that. Anything that a person wishes to achieve, it can only come through Omor. Otherwise, it's superficial. And if it's superficial, it's a veneer. And you know what a veneer is. It wears off. And nothing remains beneath it. Odom le Omor Yulon. Man is born for work. It applies to everything in life. Now, you know that great work that the Sefer is showing. That is such a great work. And the Sefer is showing is built on a writer of Rabbi Pinchas ben Gamliel in the Gemara. He starts off by saying, man has got to know why he is on this earth. What is his purpose on this earth? And he goes on to explain, and we have it in the Gemara Kachem also, and that is to protect himself to the utmost of his capacity, of his potential, to get protection. How does he do it? By degrees. First of all, there's the study of the Torah. The study of the Torah brings one to be very careful about everything one does. Doesn't do it until one knows exactly what it is. What one does carefully. Whatever it is. Afterwards, it is the Torah, maybe on his day. The Hirus, Hirus, and then he's got chapters on it. The chapters on it is, he explains what it means, the Hirus means. The next thing, he explains how to capture it. And then he explains the things that make one, that make it difficult to acquire. And if you've got it, how easily you can lose it. All that is explained. Then you've got the leader of the Hebrews comes Jesus. After Jesus comes cleaner. Has to be clean. So a person doesn't speak Roshan Hora. He's careful. The Hebrews doesn't speak, he's developed the Hebrews. Jesus is assiduousness. Assiduousness is for something positive. The Hebrews is for something negative. Assiduousness is the reason for something positive. To do something positive. To do a favor for somebody. Something positive. But to be assiduous about it. The next thing is the peace. It's got to be clean. I'll be a favor for somebody, and at the back of my mind, I've got right, he or she owes me one. Not clean. That's not clean. You can develop reasons in person, be assiduous in it, but it's just not clean. Got to be careful of that. Take anger. Be careful not to be angry. Reasons. The next step is the reasons. Now there are things that we do against anger. For example, there is such a thing as patience, and such a thing as tolerance. There is such a thing as understanding. We are serious in that. And then, right, you're confident, you don't get angry. But it's got to be clean. Don't get angry, the person against you. It's not clean. There's something false in it. So if it's clean, that is the key. I'm only taking those are the first three steps. Now, of course, you can go through a lifetime and you still haven't got it. And I think I've explained it to you that the way you do the Sefer Yeshurim is we can't wait until we have conquered and achieved the Hebrews and then go on to the Hebrews. So we do the Hebrews and we try it as much as possible. Then we go on to the reasons, we've got to get them involved. And so we go on. But we don't forget it, and the art of the Sefer Yeshurim, of studying the Sefer Yeshurim, is of course going over it again and again. That it is worth. But that is in everything. There has to be almost, there has to be worth. You want to learn mathematics? It's only it is work. You want to study music to be able to play an instrument, it is almost, it is work. You want to know a language well, it is work. Hard work. If autumn the almost you know. Everything requires work. We're speaking about very high things. Now, we can't speak about Madeira as far as we are concerned, prophecy. We've already spoken about those parts of prophecy which we can experience. Nevertheless, there are other things that are necessary for prophecy. For example, a lunar face, a sine qua non. One has to have that for prophecy. For faith, tremendous amount of work. Thinking of it. David Amelech said that the psalm that we read on Wednesday, Barom Sarapai Bekirbi, Talku Mechon Beshazi Nafsi, as a result of the many thoughts in my mind, these thoughts comfort myself. I get comfort from it. Eventually, I get comfort from it. And the commentators explain, the Rav Sarapai Bekirbi, the many thoughts of emunah, of faith, they are the ones that bring comfort to myself. So what are the thoughts of emunah? But they continue to be working on them. What Hashem does for what? Just think it all out. If we start from the very beginning, what there is in nature that I'm benefiting every day, that there is day and there is night, that there is growth, there is food. I said, maybe so. Food for everyone. And if there are people in Ethiopia and in Asia who are suffering hunger, because of man. And if there are people in Russia who are suffering hunger, it's because of man, it's not because of Hashem. Food is plentiful. But say it is your vehicle must be a full cry of itself. Hashem opens his hand and feeds everyone according to his needs. Whether it is human, or whether it is beast, or whether it is fish, but there is food for everybody. You think of it, you think about it. Just the Chavis Alabama speaks in that you've got the earth. The earth sort of stands, it's hanging in mid-air. Always there, hanging in mid-air. All belongs to Hashem, without Hashem it can't be. These are the benefits that we have. And what David HaMelech says, the roads are a five to two beats. All these are always within me. I'm always thinking of these matters. And as he thinks more and more of them, so he develops these demeanors and faith in Hashem. I think I told you, there was a very great musician once, a performer, and he came with Solomon. I don't know what his proper name was, but he went under the name of Solomon. And one of the reasons he went under the name of Solomon was because he wanted to be Jew. He wanted to be known as Jew, and he kept Shabbos. And he came once to my synagogue in Johannesburg, and I had a chance to speak to him. And he told me he doesn't practice on Shabbos. He said, but he can't wait for Shabbos to be over. Afraid he'll lose the touch. Just the touch. Doesn't want to lose the touch. Person who's got faith, got to be very careful not to lose the touch. There are various ways in which we preserve that. Prayer is one of the ways in which we preserve it. And I'll speak to you later where it comes in prayer. Prayer is a tremendous amount of this. I just want to read to you just a little bit, a passage from the Rambam in which this question comes up. If you just give me a couple of minutes, and you can amuse yourselves with those couple of minutes, because an authority and Ivan Klukta means his opposition. So the Rambam's opposition was arrived. So the Rambam says, Omar Avrom, King Avrom, his name is Avrom, Yesh Agodo, Ben Sholem Soni, there is an Agoda that Abraham was 3 years old. So how do we have the Rambam get 40? And that is all he says. But that is enough. Well, we have got, you see, this is the Rambam. This is the Rambam here, where he makes his remarks. And then, of course, look at, he's got all these commentaries on the Rambam. And it's really difficult to understand the Rambam, even with the 12 commentaries, never mind without. So the Rambam says that Abraham Avinu was 40 years old. And he says, the writer says that he's got 3 years old. So one of the commentators explains it. He says he began living with 3 years old. But he really got to it when he was 40 years old. It took him 37 years. So he was working at it for 37 years. He was working on it. And that goes further. There is a passage that he says in our prayers every morning, speaking about Avraham Avinu, the prophet says, and you found his heart ne'emon, you found his heart faithful. At that stage, Avraham Avinu was 75 years old. So he was working all the time. That means how difficult it is. Two things. First of all, how difficult it is and how one has to work for it. But the second thing is how much it is in it and how deep it is. And of course, if everything is to go back again, I can raise the elbow over. You shall know it today, and then you stop. And you shall lay it up in your heart, you've got to get it right into your heart, got to digest the whole thing. And that takes time to digest it all. So, that is the way the Rambam explains it. So, I told you that in our prayers, it helps us. Several prayers. In the morning, when we bless ourselves, we say over and over again that he formed the light, he created the darkness, he got the day and the night, and that is the first set of blessings. The first blessing is the day. Must implant faith. You go to Israel as straight to you, and you start. You think with thanks to Hashem. What do we give thanks to him? For our lives. We can move, we can do these things. But only therefore should behold every morning and all your miracles that are with us every day. Now, there's one of the authorities, and I shall have the occasion one day to speak to you more about this. One of the authorities says that there is a way in which Hashem gives us an opportunity to contemplate his Ashgocha, his care for us. And it is the Midrash, and it's a Midrash in the Book of Esther, where the Midrash complains the Am Yisrael to the land, and he's got, this young lad has got 7 hungry wolves around him. Now, and the young man isn't destroyed. Not destroyed. I had a lesson here this afternoon. I took the lesson here this afternoon. And the Russians were asking me certain questions. And as we went on, and we spoke about the various means that have been adopted to destroy the Jews. Haman wanted to kill the Jews. Just destroy them. Pare wanted to kill the Jews. Hitler wanted to annihilate the Jews. So that no Jews are left. Those three, that is the way those three went. The Greeks came along and they said, no, Jews can be Jews. They can have their country and everything. The only thing is we wanted to take the Greek culture, the Greek religion. In other words, also tried. And the Spanish king physician tried to refuse to accept the geography. Right about the same time, the Muslim was also their acts to the next of the Jews. They wanted them to become Muslim. And they promised them everything. In spite of Haman, in spite of Pharaoh, in spite of Haman, in spite of Hitler, he should survive. In spite of the Greeks, and look at the Russians here. You've got no idea what the Jewish community in Russia was. Every town, every village, you've got no idea what it was like. In 70 years they destroyed everything. Nothing left. Russians are coming out. Still beginning to learn, beginning to come back. But just think about it. And the Israel says, then you've got a prophet and 70 hungry wolves, a man. And the man exists. So how is that possible? How is that possible? It can only be with Hashem's God. Only then you can explain. And that is the result. And we've got one of our authorities who says, that is something that we'll have to be aware of from seriously. And we hope that that implants in a person. If you let go, you've got to start all over again. Like the antibiotic. Stop using it before it has its effect. No, you need it. So, that is, with everything, lots of work. And with the ruler, the coach, it requires lots of work. The only thing is, every wrong that you need is an achievement, is a great achievement. And you see that as you go along, you feel it all. Now, those are the things that you could do. The first quality that a prophet must have is spirituality and piety. And in the ruler, that is something that we can achieve. And I am speaking to you about the way to achieve it in just looking what is taking place, what is taking place round about us in the world. Now I want to give you, that is one of the ways in which we're taking in our prayers. When you say the evening prayer, how God brings on the evening twilight, he doesn't suddenly plunge into darkness, but by degrees. What a curse that is. You've got a cut of it. And then there's moon, there's the stars. It's not altogether dark. All these things. Really is something else that's very interesting. When Hashem spoke to Noah, he said, I will never again bring a flood of water to destroy the earth. Noah wanted a sign. So Hashem gave him a sign. He put a rainbow into his sign. So when you see the rainbow, you will know. He says, if Kashi no Kashi be a man, the way to the earth reads the view they know only. That will be my covenant between you. What more, why did he want a sign? What more, what greater sign can there be than I can speak with you? Can't be any greater sign than that. But you've got it over and over again. I'm not going to give you all the examples now. But you've got it over and over again, Buddha like, the angel speaks to him. He wants a sign. Always wants a sign. What he wanted from his neighbor with a wolf, neighbor to be Jew and the wolf, and to be Jew and the wolf, all the time. Justice, strengthen his community, strengthen his faith. Everything strengthens his faith. And so, we are in a privileged position when that things are happening to us. It must strengthen our faith. It is not to lose. Always, it's always happening. And Dr. Pavlov was here, he had a lot of discussion on it. How he spoke about what happened during the war, the Gulf War, with the scud. 39 scuds were shot into Israel. One person was killed. And that person actually died from a heart attack, which I say was a result of the scud. But the only, a little bit of damage to building, that is the damage to this one person was killed. So you can say that the scuds weren't affected. So others didn't have to use them. They weren't good scuds. They were old. The date had expired already. All sorts of things you could say. So what does Hashem do? That they send the scud over to an American camp in Saudi Arabia. Immediately kills 39 Americans. So, they discussed. Kills 29 Americans. Now, we were talking, Dr. Pavlik and I were discussing it. So, I mean, you can't say to have a meaningless thing like that. So we were discussing it, and Dr. Pavlik said, he said, the surprising thing is, you get people who were not moved by it. He said, this Hashem didn't make any impression. That's difficult to understand. Even if there's something still more difficult to understand, you've got people who are terribly excited about it. You can see God's hand. And 72 hours later, the war was completed. And no effect. 72 hours later, it requires hard work. Consciously, it goes. Got to go into it, try and understand it, and it's everything that the way it mentions. So that is every law. That is faith. So many signs. But it is something for which you've got to work. That applies to everything in life that is worthwhile. You've got to work very hard. Now, I've left you some time to see any questions you'd like to ask. Yes, Father.
This is off the subject shorter. The Rav mentioned the sign of the rainbow.
Yes.
Is there anything, I've heard people say, Jewish people,
yes,
that you're not supposed to really watch and look at the rainbow. Is that true?
Yes, there is something like that. There is something like that. Because it has to do, it really has to do with destruction. There is a destruction of all the waters, there was a destruction. So there is something like that. That's a danger. Yes? But you see it here like a book.
Yes.
And you don't look at it all the time.
Well, that's the way I thought it was a breath of
fire. Yes.
But can I ask about the quotation you made when you said that it said that Abraham knew Hashem at 40, it didn't say he began to know him at 40, because he knew him, it doesn't conclude that he might have known him sooner.
Yes, that's what I said. The Rambam says that the Rambam says when he was 40, he recognized Hashem and knew Hashem. So the Rambam says that we know that it's a 3 years old, there's a business, a 3 years old, that's all he says. And leaves it to that.
But that wouldn't say he didn't know him until he was
40. No, this is 40 years old. That's what the government says. So the explanation is given by later ones that he, of course, he began when he was 3 years old, but he only was 40 years old when he was 40 years old. And this, when it was been Hashem said, name on it, for sources of the name on the commercial, his heart was really near Mundapadeho. Before I said, he was 75 there. They were working all the time. Do you get it?
During the month of Elul, and I was thinking that Sir Avraham made slow steps from 3-year-old to 40-year-old to 75-year-old, and here we had a couple of weeks. Freshness, you know, some positive things I'm learning. And I've read a little bit in Chico's, and he mentioned a technique of fasting for 10 days, but I think it's day fast and it skips 4 or 5 regular holidays in there, and I wanted to know about that technique.
Yes.
If you knew of any technique,
I mean,
like a little technique,
you know,
like a
gold finger.
You see,
Abby, you've got to be careful of those things. I'm quite sure that keto
didn't advise to do it. No,
he just said that there were people who did it during this particular time, but we don't do it. Why don't we do it? I'll be just speaking about one small aspect of it, but that is a way of working on it. So those of these necessary disorders have requested a side note to the presentation of the third council of Jerusalem, the 12th CD, and Austrian Metatross. But they said he was very wounded, and they were told that he'd been injurious to his health, and everybody would suffer. And the answer was, I know exactly what my strength is. In other words, he said, if you could handle it, I would step in and pick it. Well, I think you could do it. But that isn't a good way. But you see, the use of people could do it. And that is what he was referring to, that he took up many of them. But the bit that I do, I think, is very, very, very good. That the Ramban, lived in the 13th century, and he lived in Spain. And they told him the kids I had been in a hard time in Spain, and one of the things that they did to him there is they told him to have a debate with the bishop in front of the king of the queen. And he has an apostate Jew, and this apostate Jew has chosen the bishop. So that's what I'm going to say to him, so he should be prepared to do. Now, what I'm going to do is an impossible condition. If he lost the debate with the bishop, it should be a good lesson. If he won the debate with the bishop, it should not be the last of this. So, we're really on the horns of a dilemma. That's what we're going to do. I don't know quite how it works out, but it works out in such a way that he was able to do what he had to do, to demolish the bishops out of the land, but then to let the bishops out of the land. So, we're going to do so. And we're going to ask that he's going to step into that land. And from there he left a letter to his children. And he asked them to read it once a week. There was a young rabbi somewhere in Florida. He was a parent of the Methodist Church. And he took this letter, translated it into English, and divided it into 7 parts. So that they could use one part every day. But remember, he asked that he did it to you. What a lovely piece of work he did. And, that is yes, it starts like this. I read it in English. Heed, my son, the discipline of your father, and do not forget the guidance of your mother. So that's in which way you promise.
And that is the introduction, basically, okay? And the Rabbi Perez, that's his name, just used the best word. In his talk, this is for the first time. A custom refers to people who speak gently to all people at the same time. And then he goes and he explains this to you in three times of the word. So you can do it in 20 minutes. But the art is, the skill is, to accustom yourself to speak gently to all people at the same time. To repeat that over and over again. You then go down to learning. Every environment is the best. It's now turning the battery over the rest of the matter, the whole of them in the content. And that is the first day. The second day, in the reality, not only in our class, if you speak gently, you will be saved from anger. Gentle speech will protect you from anger. When he speaks about anger. Also, 2.5 pages. Listening, 2 pages, that's all. Now, all the steps. Don't even choose. 20 minutes of days in that, what do you say? 20 minutes a day. 20 minutes a day. But don't forget it for this. But we don't forget it for this. So, those are things that are really good. Yes?
Yes? When one learns to say in the morning, and during the day one starts to sweat, is there a method whereby one can catch oneself in the middle of the baby screaming and other children screaming that one can some type of a thought or an idea that might bring one back to?
All kinds of ways. Write that just a few lines down on a sheet of paper, put it on your dressing table, put it in the kitchen. Maybe you to say, oh, yeah, they don't need handkerchiefs, and you still need to say, oh, they don't need handkerchiefs, and you still need to say, you don't have handkerchiefs in California. That's what he used to do, take the handkerchief and just sort of tie them up, you see, and you know that the mug is full.
Right.
But you have to, you've got to use other methods. If you put a cup on, you give a cup to it. There are a lot of disadvantages here in there. You see, in a civilized country, there are certain things that you can do. But anyway, you can only work with what you've got. Haven't got a handkerchief to it. Find another one. Right, anything else?
Can I ask
another
question about the rainbow? I had heard before also that you shouldn't like that, if you wait to look at the rainbow in the sky, if you see it in your nation of Rafa, you shouldn't point it out to other people in their nation of Rafa. And you shouldn't give children stories that make rainbows, you know, like to have a little stigma in them, because the children shouldn't be like, reading a story and making a rainbow, to look at in
the sky. That's going overboard.
You shouldn't, if you see a rainbow in your nation, you shouldn't say, oh, look, there's a Rafa on the rainbow, you shouldn't say,
well, look, I don't see any harm in there.
That's
the story is that he's very capable. So it's very easy for that. Well, I thank you, lady.
We have these beautiful magnets.
Excuse me.
Did everybody like one of these?
Yes.